Welcome, everybody, to the Chamber of Her Liquid Secrets. Ooh. Creating sacred space. For the voice in the heart of the goddess. Well, it's been a while since I've done a recording. And I thought today I would create a sacred space for what I'm feeling within my heart space. Just the other day, the Supreme Court made the decision that our bodies are not our own. And inside, when I heard this, my stomach and my heart was in knots. I think it is so important that everybody has the right to embody and inhabit their own body temple the way they choose to. So there's going to probably be a lot of silences sometimes on this podcast because I'm really feeling into how I feel. I'm giving a blueprint, a template from a situation that happened to me a few years ago. And I'm giving it as a means to a teaching within the story template. Quite a number of years ago, it actually happened in 2008 on Christmas. I received a call from my mother that my stepfather had died on Christmas. So we rushed over, my husband and I. We were only 5 minutes away. We actually chose the place that we lived to be very close to my mother and my stepfather. So in case something ever happened, we could be there in just a few minutes. So my life really changed on that day. It changed because I went from having freedom in my own life to moving in with my mother along with my husband, which is actually one of the most tragic things I had ever done in my life. Looking back on it from this vantage point at this point in time, way off into the future, I'm actually really glad that it all happened, because it actually taught me quite a bit about being sovereign in your own life, being able to direct where you want to go and not to go, and how that is linked up to the voice of the feminine. I feel that the voice of the feminine is connected up to the heart. Once we give the voice freedom to speak how it wants to speak, with no hindrances, and so we have the freedom to really feel into our truth as we speak, I feel that this opens up doorways, portals, into who we really want to be and where we want to be. And it helps to serve a broader purpose of directing us to where we should no longer be. But I think if there's any aspect of our voice that is stopped, silenced, maybe if we're too afraid, maybe we might be in a situation. I'm speaking to every woman here that has been afraid to really speak, feel, and speak. Of how they really feel and what they really want to do and not do in their life. Tonight I'm giving this true story of my life as a teaching. There's a lot of nuances. But it's actually very straightforward. When I stepped from having, let's put it this way, I started with having my own place with my husband and stepped into the portal of no longer having my own sacred space that I could really call my own. It's really actually quite amazing that me and my husband made it through. Because my mother, after my stepfather died, she needed somebody to be there to caregive her. But being her only daughter, and I wasn't really thinking clearly, because my stepfather had just died and my mother was crying. And because my mother had diabetes and different things going on with her, she needed somebody to caregive her, to be there for her. And actually, when it was all over with, there's nothing that I couldn't have done for my mother living 5 minutes away that I did when I was living with her. Nothing. So, there were a lot of things that happened to me as a child that my mother did not do right by me when I was a child. It actually started, she was actually a very good mother up to the time I was about 10. And as I hit 10 years old and started going up higher into the numbers, where puberty started, things started really going downhill. And there were a lot of things that happened to me when I was 12 to 13 years old. And a lot of problems happened. I was actually a wonderful kid. And there were a lot of things that my parents didn't do that they should have done to help protect me. So, having all of this history behind me, knowing all this, when I went to go caregive my mother, a lot of things changed. But I'm not going to really go into the whole aspect of the storyline of my mother. I'm kind of giving you the backdrop because it gives nuance and depth to the story that I'm going to give you of what I was going through at the time. That this one event happened. Actually, there was many events, but this one event really, I feel, was huge. So after I gave up my sovereignty as a woman and went to go live with my mother with my husband, which we barely made it through because she had become a very evil person when she was older. And I'm sure I probably didn't see a lot of things when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, she was actually there for me in a lot of great ways. Like birthday parties, presents. We did a few things together as mother and daughter, going out to different places. But as I hit 11, 12, 13, that all came down to a crashing halt. Now that I look back on a lot of things. But as we move further into the story, this was about after my stepfather died in 2008. In 2009, we were moved into my mother's place. And I was really searching to carve out just a place of my own somewhere where I am no longer the wife, the daughter, the caregiver. You know, I just wanted to be myself. I just wanted to explore what I love to do, whatever that might be. And I was getting tired of it being all these other things, like the daughter, the wife, the caregiver, whatever. There was no sacred and safe place for me. I had no place in my mother's house that was just my own. Not really. So, in 2009, I went to a bookstore to listen to a speech. And there I met somebody, I won't say, and we actually became friends for a little while at least. And she knew of it was like what do you call it? A spiritual book club where you get together, you are given a spiritual book to read every week. And not every week, but it's the same book, right? And then you come and you talk about it in a group of women. And I thought at the time, wow, this sounds absolutely wonderful. It sounds like something that I would really enjoy because I love reading books, especially spiritual books. So I accompanied her onto every week we would all get together. It felt so wonderful just to be in the company of other women and to be able to talk. The group lasted for about 2 hours. And there was probably about 8 to 10 women there. Maybe 11 to 12 at the very most, but not quite sure at this point in time. Anyway, we would all sit in a circle and we would talk about, before we got into the book that we were reading, we would talk about our lives a little bit here and a little bit there. Everybody, had their own likes and dislikes, and everybody was kind of doing different creative things that we would bring up in the group. Everybody kind of knew me as a numerologist, shaman numerologist. They didn't really know me as a shaman numerologist, but as a numerologist. Very much working with words and numbers and what those numbers would mean in a given word. And other people had other things that they brought up in the group. Oh, they're a doll maker, where they make spirit dolls. There was all kinds of stuff that we were all talking about. The woman at the head of the group, I won't say her name, but everybody really liked her. She always seemed really nice. She was always talking about, her own creative things, whether she's going to Hawaii or she's doing this other project over there, that kind of thing. So while it was a book group, we were given space to kind of talk about our lives in between what we read, and we were kind of all kind of directed to how that chapter or two that we read that week, what did we learn from it, kind of thing. How do we incorporate that into our lives? Which I thought was really cool. And then she also, the person facilitating the group, had a tip jar. And you could tip her however much you wanted. Usually, anywhere from it could be a dollar to $5 to 10, whatever, right? And she kind of made it clear that that tip jar money was her money for organic produce because she's trying to eat healthy, which I thought that was really cool. So, giving you the backdrop as things were kind of falling apart at the seams, living at my mother's place and not having any sacred space for myself. A lot of the problem was, even though my husband and I had our own room there, she had no qualms at all about just opening up the door whenever the hell she wanted. So you could be in the middle of undressing for the day or undressing yourself to put cream on. Like for once, I was like, I had my pants off and was putting cream on my skin. She just opened up the door, right? She had really, my mother had no respect for people's privacy. And she made it a point, like, you're there to serve me, right? Kind of thing. So anyway, I won't go into that aspect, but I'm just giving you the backdrop where I really felt this immense aloneness and closing in of my life, not having any space at all, just to myself, where I didn't feel like she was going to open the door up on me. I mean, I really had no space of my own, not really. No space that was respected, let's put it that way. So going to that weekly book group with other women was like my therapy for me. And it really got me away from an absolutely horrific situation, and gave me a place to feel like I fit in somewhere, and where people were actually listening to me. Pretty much my whole life, I never felt like people or any situations were there for me to talk into. Usually I felt stifled. I didn't feel like I could ever speak my truth anywhere. So being at that book group was actually, and I was there for about a good 7 or 8 months. And being there was really, for me at that point in time, was so life-changing. Some people would think, oh, it was just a book group. It was just a bunch of women in a circle. But for me, it was like, from me being in the desert to being given water to quench myself in, right? So I pretty much made it a point when I did, when it got to my point, when it got to the my point in the circle where I was being handed a talking stick. Everybody was handed a talking stick, one talking stick. Okay, so it would like go from the woman that led the group, and she would gift it off to, let's see, the right-handed person on the right-handed side, and she would hand the talking stick to that person. That person would talk for like 2 to 4 minutes about her life. And we would usually go around the circle about 2 to 3 times. And so that's why it would usually take about 1.5 to 2 hours. But so whenever I received the talking stick, which the talking stick is supposed to be very sacred, it's in the whole Native American culture. You're supposed to respect the talking stick and the person that's talking, because it's their path. That's the whole reason for the talking stick, okay? So to me, that was highly significant. I loved that aspect that they incorporated that. And to me, it felt sacred to be able to hold the stick in my hands and to actually talk for once in my life, where people were actually listening to what the heck I was saying. It felt really good. Okay, and so I would talk about a little bit about my life, very little, and I would talk about the chapter or two that I read during that week, you know, maybe the things that I underlined that helped me to realize certain things in my own life, which I loved that. I loved being held accountable, kind of, in the group. You know, there was never any talk about being held accountable, but it's like you go and you know that you have to read a couple chapters that week, and you know you have to learn something and to be able to talk about it in group. I loved that aspect. So I really made it a point to only talk on hardly any occasions at all. I would make it a point, as far as numerology is concerned, I would say, hey, I really love this word in the chapter, you know, and of course, numerology is my path, just like, you know, everybody else has their own path. And that's why we're given the talking stick, right? because it's everybody's path. And so occasionally I would talk about a word that I really liked in that, how I incorporated it into my life and what the numerical value of it was in numerology, kind of what I thought it meant. Okay. But I only did that occasionally. I mean, I was there for 7 or 8 months, and I would say maybe, and we would go every week, I would say maybe two times a month I would go into the numerology thing with a word, and that would be it. Usually I would just talk about the chapter, what it meant to me, how I'm going to incorporate it into my life, that kind of thing. And I can honestly say I really enjoyed it, and I really loved to be able to hear the other women's own perspective on the chapters as well. I really loved listening to other people's perspective, not just my own. But that's how I learn. I love learning from other people and what their experiences are. Okay. So the talking stick for me was really huge. It really gave a grounding experience of feeling seen, felt, and heard when I held on to it, and it really felt phenomenal for me. It's the first time in my life where I really felt I was a part of something that was bigger than just me, and it really, really helped to heal me in my heart. So toward the last part of the group, this is approximately like the very last time I was in the group. This was like the 8th month. And I remember the talking stick had been given to me. It was my turn to talk. And I talked about the chapter that I'd read, how much I loved it. I don't even remember what word I decided to decode. And it was a very small decoding. I mean, I literally talked about the word for maybe 2 or 3 sentences, gave the numerical value of the word, and I thought it was really interesting what I thought it meant to me and my life, and how I enjoyed the word and what it taught me. And when I handed the talking stick to the woman on my right, she grabbed the talking stick, and in front of everybody, she looks at me and she says, "I just want to tell you, I am so glad you're in this group, and I really want to thank you for your insights." I'm not kidding you. I'd never had anybody say that to me. I really want to thank you for your insights on that word, and I really appreciate you being here, is what she said. And it was like water for my soul. I'm not kidding you. It was absolutely wonderful. So I thanked her, and then she talked about the chapter, what it meant to her, and then on down the talking stick went to everybody else. And so after I left that night, I received an email from the woman at the head of the group that was giving the group. And she said, "You know, I'd really like to talk to you on the phone." And a part of me was thinking, wow, you know, this is really cool. But then I thought, no, I feel like there's something wrong. I really do. And so we talked on the phone, and she said, "You know, I'll just wrap it up into a nutshell of what she said. It's approximately, because it was so long ago, like, I really don't want you talking about the numerology anymore and the words." That was pretty much it. And I was like just devastated, because I knew what that meant. It meant, well, that means that I can no longer really talk in the group, because I don't know if what I'm going to say is going to bother her or whatever. And this was after the woman that gave me that wonderful compliment, right? So I pretty much decided in the car when I was talking to my husband. I said, I really don't feel like, because she made it clear to me she doesn't want me to talk about it, but I'm still welcomed into the group kind of thing. And I'm like, I talked to my husband. It was like, no, I'm really sorry, but we talked about it, and he said, you don't want to be in a group where you don't even know if what you're going to say is going to make it where she's going to email you again and talk to you. I mean, you want to be able to speak how you feel, and what's going on and how it relates to your path. I mean, that's what the talking stick is all about, right? And so I pretty much decided in that moment, you know what, you're right. I don't want to have to sit there and wonder and, God, and what am I saying? You know what I mean? So the reason why I'm bringing this teaching up, this actually took me a while to talk about, but the reason why I'm talking is it's kind of giving the template for other women, or anybody for that matter. Where in your life have you felt that you were silenced? And so I've been really thinking about that lately. What areas in my life have I felt silenced? And then I started thinking, how many other women have felt this way? How many other women have been in groups where it touts itself as being spiritual? And it's really not. And the whole meaning behind the symbol of the talking stick is denigrated. How do other women denigrate other women? Women's voices. How do we do that as women? Why do we do that as women? And if people say that they want women to stand up and raise their voices, but are we given supposedly sacred places to talk that end up not really being sacred at all? And right now we're in a moment in time where everything appears as though is that it's being taken away from women. Our right to choose what we want to do with our own bodies, okay? And I feel in order to really steer the ship where we want it to go, as far as giving women the freedom and the choices to make decisions for their own body, I think really rests with women that are in charge of their own groups. To me, it was such a failure of this woman, a failure to really see the sacredness and feel the sacredness of what she was doing, and also in using the talking stick as the whole symbology and focal point. If we're gonna stop women from speaking their own truth and what their path is leading them to for themselves, what the hell are we doing? Why are we even creating a structure that appears sacred? And we're not really living into that of what we created to help other women rise. Okay. And I think tonight I'm giving this as kind of a template to what was kind of done to me, to see kind of where we need to go as women. I won't even talk about the men at this point. But if we as spiritual leaders can't even adhere to our own a blueprint of what we're laying out for other women in a group where we're using a talking stick, but then we're not allowing a woman to speak her own truth. What is the point of that? What is the point? To me, I took a lot of time to really think and feel. This was quite a number of years ago, by the way, as you can tell, because this happened in 2009 and we're in 2022 at this point in time. But it took me many years to really look and feel into what was done to me as an overall template to what's being done to women everywhere. And not by just men, but by other women. So-called women leaders. But within the pain of that, within the pain, I looked deeper and I found out through my own inner heart space that really I feel that she was afraid. She was afraid of my power and my voice. And for once, I really questioned it on a whole nother level. Why would she be afraid of my own voice? Why would she be afraid of my voice? Why would she not want me to speak when I'm holding the talking stick to the other women that are in the group and her? And then I knew the reason why I was silenced my whole life. And there was also many times where I kept myself silent. Okay? The reason why she silenced me is because I am very powerful. My voice is very powerful. My heart is very powerful. And then I knew, looking back on it, okay? Because there was a few times where I talked about numerology. I'd say within 7 or 8 months at that book group, I maybe talked about it maybe once a month, if that. Sometimes there'd be a whole month where I didn't talk about numerology. So it's not like I'm incessantly talking about it. But my point was, is when I really looked back on the situation, it wasn't until the woman to my right, when she gave me that compliment, like she was so, literally, I'm not kidding you, she was so thankful I was there in the group. She's learned so much from me, from my insights. And this was, she made it clear it was about the word that I did with the numerology, okay? She made it a point. And then she went into her own path of what, you know, the chapter meant to her. It wasn't until after that moment that the woman leader decided to email me and tell me that. And then I knew, I get it. I get it. Because my words and my thoughts and my feelings and my heart and my body are very powerful. And it really, I feel that I have a very huge torch inside of me guiding the way. And a lot of other women don't like that. I think she felt, the woman in charge, I think she felt that my torch was too strong and too bright. And other people would listen to me and maybe not her. Either way, it made her feel uncomfortable enough to email me and to talk to me on the phone. And it was actually one of the most life-changing events because I really used the situation as a blueprint. Like, how is this a reflection of my whole life? It wasn't just one situation here compartmentalized. I used it as a template and a blueprint to what is this teaching me for my whole life? Because to me, it reflected everything I've been through in my life. People trying to stop me from speaking, stop me from shining my light, stopping me from handing the torch to other women so they can it can help light the way more for them. Why is there all this energy into stopping me from helping others and helping myself? Why? Why? Because I shine too brightly? Maybe I might make too much sense? Or when I speak, there's a door there and people can see it clearly and they know if they walk through, it might help them. And in that helping them, it might help me too, and maybe the whole group. I think it's interesting how there's all these memes out there. Shine your light, you know. And I think that's wonderful, and I think women should keep shining our light. But there are a lot of people out there that are posing as spiritual leaders that have a real issue with the women that are carrying bright torches for other people. And if anything, when I really looked into all the aspects of what happened to me in that one sequence, I knew, okay, I must be really here to change things to the point where other people that are in charge, that is a woman leader, are really uncomfortable. So that's part of the reason why I made it a point to start speaking up more, especially as I got older. Remembering that template of the talking stick that was handed to me but not handed to me at the same time. Well, I just had to take a call. I'm sorry about that, you guys. So, I think it's important to talk about women leaders that are posing as a spiritual leader. And I think it gave me the template or blueprint how not to be as a woman leader. And to not be afraid or to feel uncomfortable or to feel like, I don't know what the hell, but of other women that are holding a lot of light in their torch, right? To help guide the way through. The portal of sovereignty. Okay? I remember in that book group, we were all connected up in an email group. And there are quite a number of women that emailed me about what happened. And they were sorry to see me go. There wasn't a whole lot, but there was like at least 2 to 3 other women who actually emailed me to tell me they were sorry to see me go. So, the experience actually taught me a lot, and I would like to take that template into the situation that we have now. How do you think we're going to get out of the situation with them trying to take away our freedom? Okay. Without having women like me that are helping to lead the way with our torch. A torchbearer. Okay? You're not going to have very, very much success, probably. I don't know. But I do know there is a reason why I was being stopped and silenced from my own voice over decoding a word in a chapter of a book. Wow. Are you for real? Like, that's what I was thinking. And then having to go back to my mother's place. I won't even call it my home. To caregive her. Knowing, well, I guess I don't have my own sacred space right now. I guess I'm done with the book group. That felt more horrible than actually what was done to me. Going back to that life with nothing to look forward to and having no sacred space. And really, during that whole time, I would say there was only one other sacred space that I did have. It was in my art journal. I started really heavily art journaling during those couple of years. So there was one space that I felt like I had that was my own. It was in my art journal. But other than that, after I stopped going to the book group, I didn't have two places at that point. Then it was all in my art journal. But it was still hell because I was art journaling in a horrific place. It really was. So where am I going with this? As I wrap this up, it's been like 49 minutes and 29 seconds. I guess where I'm going with this is women as a whole, we have to start stepping up to the plate more, putting our egos aside. Of what makes us uncomfortable if we have somebody in a group that is carrying a very strong and bright torch And we're trying to hand it off to other women to help open up doors for them and doors for ourselves, for the whole group. When you become a leader in a group, that is sacred. That is very sacred. And for a person to turn their back on that, you need to look at your own life and see, why do you feel uncomfortable? Why are you having issues with somebody taking a hold of that talking stick and telling their path to the group like everybody else? Why are you having an issue? I think as a whole, all of us women have to come together to help heal and open the doors for everybody. And we need to step out of our own skins. And when we create something that's sacred, honor it. So tonight, I wanted to thank all of you for coming aboard to listen to the talking stick story as a way to help heal women, because we need it. We need people that are going to be strong. We need people to shine bright. And we don't need people that are pretenders. I think there's been enough pretending. So, as I speak these words of truth and love into the airways, I hope that it helps to heal and open up different doorways into your own heart, into your own soul, where maybe you can see yourself in this true story. Maybe there were instances where this has happened to you in some ways. And if you want to be a leader, I really hope that you listen to my words of what it was like on the receiving end of someone that really needed a sacred space, didn't have any freedom in her life, and really needed a sacred space once a week, and what it felt like to have a woman using a talking stick as a woman spiritual leader to denigrate somebody's voice because she feels uncomfortable with how bright my torch shines. There's something wrong with that. So, as I gift out this true story to my audience, only love and sacred space and truth and allowing women to carry a bright torch, however bright they want to carry it, should be exalted. We're not going to get where we need to go by people that are trying to dim other people's light because they feel uncomfortable. Okay? So, I love you all. Have a great evening. I love you, and bye for now.